young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Good morning and welcome into the Blitz today. What is on the menu? Pure gold as always. Happy Wednesday. Hope you are doing well out there.
Gold, huh?
Pure gold. Pure gold.
Okay. Setting the bar high.
Pure gold as always, though. Always, we are always gold. That's the same thing that's coming in for the next 2 hours.
I feel like I got some bad days, but I'll be gold for you, Ricky.
Hey, nonetheless... gold. How are you guys doing today? As always, joined by Brandon Orrick and Chance Collins.
Doing well, Rick.
Yeah?
Doing good. Real good.
Feeling pretty good, Ricky. Feeling pretty good. Hump day.
Did you forget what day the draft was? You look like you're draft ready today.
No, I didn't forget what day the draft was, but I just... kind of grabbed this out of my closet and threw it on this morning.
This is in protest to Kyrie Irving not talking to any of the Celtics administration for the last couple weeks.
No.
Al Horford declining his option.
No. It's
your best player now, Jason Tatum.
No, it's just – I just like –
I just it, like it, the shirt.
It's a very soft shirt. Feel it, Rick. Okay, feel the shirt. It's very
it's
soft.
A nice, it's a
for those of you
shirt.
Who can't see in radio world.
It's a very soft
Brandon's
shirt.
A very
it's
soft.
A Celtics – shirt.
Nike.
No, I just...
the gold trim?
I wasn't...
pure gold trim?
If I wasn't thinking, or I would have...
waited till
wore
tomorrow.
It tomorrow.
You can still wear it tomorrow. Davis wore his shirt 2 days in a row. Or I guess it wasn't 2 days in a row.
That is true.
He had a break in there.
Yeah.
No, he did wear it 2 days in a row. He came on a Monday, and then
that
came back on Tuesday.
Yeah, he did.
Mm. Yeah, you can pull a Davis.
Do you have another Celtics shirt?
Yeah,
or
but it's
jersey?
Not as nice as this one. I'm not a jersey guy, but it's not as nice as this one.
I bet you're a jersey guy.
No. Nope. Just t-shirt.
Just logo.
But I have another one, but it's not as nice as this one. So that's my dilemma.
Gotcha.
What do you mean it's not as nice? Like the quality or it just doesn't look as cool or what
I mean,
do you
I
mean it's not as
how
nice?
I don't care about how it looks. It's
well,
just not as comfortable.
Oh, okay.
This
okay.
one's very comfortable. It's very soft. Fits well.
No, it doesn't.
Are you going to wear it tomorrow?
How are you going to wear it tomorrow?
I don't know.
Think you should.
Think that'd be weird wearing a shirt 2 days in a row?
No, no. Not the same one. I'm saying you wear your other one.
Ah, wear the same shirt.
You well, see, I thought about just like after the show, going home and changing.
Yep.
That way I've only wore this shirt for like a couple hours, so it's
I
not
do it
really
all the time.
That dirty.
Do it all the time. Nothing wrong with it.
That works, right?
Yeah, but I'll let you know if it smells bad tomorrow.
It's
I'll
not going to smell
be
bad.
But if it does, hours. I'll be the first one to let you know.
Oh, well, thanks, Rick.
Right here in close proximity.
Thanks.
Why aren't you a jersey guy? You just never have been or
no,
what?
I don't know. I'm just not.
Okay. That's fair.
Rick's a big jersey guy. I've seen he's got a lot of jerseys.
I do love jerseys. I think jerseys are fun to collect.
And Rick can pull off the jersey. I can't pull off the jersey.
I'm going to wear my Luka jersey tomorrow.
And
then
I'll
wear
you?
It again the next week.
You should not say anything.
When he wins Rookie of the Year. I'm going to wear it back-to-back weeks. No fear.
No Trae Young?
Absolutely not. Those hideous jerseys, I ain't ever wearing those. Those are the worst. That rebranding, oh my gosh.
Trae Young's going to win Rookie of the Year. Really.
It is pretty bad, though. The Hawks rebrand, their color scheme. I'm not a fan.
Hawks got told a big no-no.
That's right.
This week.
Would you like to put some kind of fun wager down on the...
Rookie of the Year?
On the Rookie of the Year.
Ooh.
I've tried to get John to do it with me a couple times. He says no.
Would you like? John's not very confident then, huh?
I feel about as confident as I have ever felt.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What are the Vegas odds right now? That's how I'll know. See what Luca's odds are.
Vegas. Come on. Just
check in the
Vegas
side.
Always knows. Just make a decision. $10.
Oh, 10 bucks.
$10?
I ain't scared.
I mean, I would rather do something that's not a financial.
Oh, who isn't confident now? I don't even have a dog in the fight.
No,
neither
I'd rather
teams.
Do like a, you know, like
if you
like
if,
the
if,
loser has to eat like a really hot chili pepper or something on air. I think those bets are way more fun than right. just, you know, here's $10.
All right, if I'm right, you got to eat a habanero.
Ooh.
A whole one.
Habanero.
Does he get any milk or water, anything?
After 30 seconds.
Wow.
Ooh.
An entire one?
Two bites.
Okay.
So is that a
two-way street, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it should be the entire pepper.
No way. Wait, get out of here, all right? Get out of here. This is between the big boys who are making the bet.
And I'm the non...
You're facilitating.
I am the non-biased mediator here. I think that it should be the whole pepper. Yeah.
Two,
you gotta eat
two
the
bites
pepper.
Of a habanero, two bites of an onion.
Ooh. Whoa! No, I can't
I like
do
where
onions.
You're. I like where you're thinking.
Onions
Chase.
Will make
I like,
me. Onions will make me throw up immediately.
Rick.
I hate
a bet's a bet.
Can't
Rick.
Do onions.
You said you're not worried.
All right, so here it is, Rick. You either eat the whole habanero or you eat two bites and then two bites of an onion.
Yep.
Oh man!
I thought you were so confident.
Yeah,
that
I am not going to lose this.
he
I'm
just,
trying to think.
He
what
just
if,
said right before. I'm so confident. Well, the most confident I've ever been.
All right, if I lose, I will eat the whole pepper.
If Rick loses, he'll eat the whole pepper.
I'll go two bites of an onion, two bites of the pepper if I lose. I ain't eating the whole pepper.
Wow.
These have to be big bites. Like you're taking a bite out of an apple with the onion.
All right, I'm changing my mind to the onion. We'll make it the exact same. Okay?
You're going to take the bites out of the onion?
Yeah, I'm going to take the two and the two.
All right.
Heard.
Is the onion going to cancel out? The jalapeno?
Habanero. Maybe it intensifies it.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know how these things work.
Wow.
Yep.
It's just one big mystery.
Hey, man, you'll have on your Luka jersey. You'll be hype.
No, I will have to take that off just in case, you know.
Just in case you hurl?
Just in case. Yeah, you said it. All right.
All right.
There it is.
We got this bet. I am looking forward to
this. There's the bet. So when is the awards? Is it not this Thursday, but next Thursday?
I thought you knew.
No, I'm pretty sure it's next Thursday.
So a week from tomorrow.
NBA awards. Let's find this out. Monday, whoa, it's on Monday. It's on this upcoming Monday.
So on Tuesday.
Tuesday,
we will have.
A pepper and an onion.
All right. Do I need to go out and buy these things?
Yeah, since
yes,
you're not
yes,
in the bet.
Yes, absolutely. Right. You're spending the money here. I mean, but really, you only need one pepper and one onion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad.
It's like $2.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if that.
Yeah, if that.
So.
There it is.
I'm going to ask the person in the produce section. All right. Which one of these peppers is the hottest?
All right.
Well, they don't have ghost peppers.
Feels a bit extreme.
So habanero is probably going to be the hottest you find.
As how hot is a habanero pepper?
Right underneath.
They have like a scale of these things.
Mm-hmm. Should we go to the scale?
I think we should.
I want to say it's like kind of right beneath the ghost pepper. Have you been seeing those ghost pepper chips that people are buying?
Yes, and I've seen even
like
$400 things like ghost pepper chocolate, like all this kind of weird stuff that they put in it.
The heat scale. Let's see.
All right.
Not a big fan of the heat scale.
The Scoville heat scale.
Yikes.
That's what
for chili
called.
Peppers.
Good job.
All right. So at zero, you've got your bell pepper.
Mm-hmm.
The next step up is the 100 to 500 range. That's your peppercini.
Yep.
What?
What you get from Papa John's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then let's jump up to the jalapeno.
Oh, nice.
2,500 to 8,000.
Then you got the Serrano right after that. Serrano pepper's very hot.
You got the Cayenne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's 30,000 to 50,000. That's a lot hotter than the jalapeno.
These are Scoville heat units.
All right. Then we have the orange habanero.
Mm-hmm.
$150,000 to $325,000.
And we're not even at the one we've done yet.
No, that's the one.
That's
oh,
the one
that is
one.
It?
The okay. orange habanero.
Like I said, it's pretty much right behind the ghost pepper, which is at 800,000 Scoville heat units to 1,000,000. And then the one that we were talking about, the Carolina Reaper. That's the one where people have been like doing that Carolina Reaper challenge, where it's like the one chip. People like you have to. It's like $400 or something for that chip. People are doing that. Don't really understand it, but yeah, Carolina Reaper. You don't want any of that.
All right. So on Monday evening, I will go purchase an orange habanero.
Orange habanero.
Looks like
that right there.
You never seen a habanero?
Yeah. No.
Oh, really?
No. That thing looks disgusting. I can't wait to not eat it.
And an onion. Hot. And on Tuesday, we will settle
this. See, I'll be a peeled onion. I'm not eating a peel. I'll throw that out there.
All right.
It's going to be a peeled onion. I'm not going to eat the peel. Nobody eats the peel. It's not edible.
I'm looking forward to this. I am pumped.
I mean, if I got to do it, I got to do it. Rick's got to do it. It's going to be even funnier.
This will be fun.
I'm going to freak out if I have to do it. I will.
Yeah, you are.
I will be a train wreck of Tuesday until it happens at the end of the show.
I mean, you're not going to back out, are you?
No, I'm not going to back out. But
you can't now. It's on wax.
We also, it has to be established that we're doing it at the end of the show. If we try to do it at the beginning.
It's true.
Like, you
That's
guys
true.
Are on your own. I'm
That's
done.
True.
I'm tapping
That's
out
true.
The rest
it will
of
be,
the show.
It will be
right,
spicy.
So we'll do it the last,
a,
we'll do
a
last segment.
Position under the table.
Has to be last segment.
All right, so that's settled.
If you haven't heard, the habanero pepper sucks. That's what Chance will be saying over there.
I ain't scared to eat the pepper. If we'd have been doing like Carolina Reapers or something.
865-546-8200 is our number if you want to join us. Take a quick break right here. When we come back, we've got the opening drive. We're going to get into a little bit of NBA news today as well.
Yep.
A lot of stuff going on in the NBA. And also talking about what constitutes success for Jeremy Pruitt in year two. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
What you're looking at on that phone?
Well, you should. I was learning about the dangers of high blood pressure and that we need to get ours checked regularly. High blood pressure can increase the risk of heart attack or stroke, but this text program can help keep it at a healthy range. Just text Barbershop to 97779 to sign up.
I'll get right on it as soon as I'm done with this baby panda video.
Text Barbershop to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
I'll trade my other onion bite.
865-546-8200. Rick just found out about the onion and the pepper, and now he might just take the entire pepper.
No one told me that the onion was
raw,
hot.
It's raw onion that has like an acidic nature to it.
I thought it just tasted gross. Like, I thought that's what the part of it was.
Why do you think I threw the onion in there as well?
It's both.
Because it's disgusting. It's just gross.
You know what's not gross? The opening drive.
Speaking of the opening drive, first down. The Atlanta Hawks have proposed a trade to the New York Knicks in which the Hawks would send the number 8 and the number 10 picks to New York in exchange for the number 3 overall pick. However, the Knicks have rejected that trade. They said no, no, no. Matt, welcome into the studio today.
Intern Matt in the building. The Knicks said no, no. I don't blame them, though. 8, 2 picks. I don't know if you trade the 8th pick. Sometimes not a lot of value there. I know that for one. The Bulls, horrible value with the 7th pick over the last, like, 4 out of 5 years. And 10th pick. The value just really drops. Like, if you're not in those top 6, top 5 picks, I'd go ahead and stay at the 3 and just go with, you know, one of these top guys.
Really, most years, if you're outside that top 3,
it's slim pickings.
But this year seems to be a little deeper.
Would you have taken both picks for one, two for one? I think the Knicks, they're struggling too. Like, they need something. Those fans are yearning for something. You got to stay in that top three.
Yeah, if I'm the Knicks, I'm probably not doing it.
Yeah. You already missed out on the lottery. People thought that you had the best chance to get Zion as far as going into the draft lottery. You don't get that. You're probably stuck with a R.J. Barrett, a Cam Reddish, the Culver kid from Texas Tech. Maybe even Kobe White's jumping up on a lot of draft boards from North Carolina. But if I'm the Knicks, I think I agree with Brandon. I stay at that number three pick.
And it seems like the Knicks really love R.J. Barrett himself. So if that's their guy, then seems like they're going to stay with it. All right, second down. Former XFL and Eagles and Panthers running back, he hate me, has
Rod
been
Smott.
Found after, I guess apparently he went missing. He went missing for about a week. Police were out looking for him. Police noted in the advisory that it was unusual him to be out of touch for so long. Smart's family was worried about his safety and well-being. So he was gone for about a week, but apparently he has been found safe, as he was reported missing earlier in the week in South Carolina. He had been last seen in Indian Land, South Carolina.
Indian,
it's a real
land?
Place. Indian Land.
Okay. I was making sure it's a real place. No, he was making yeah.
No, it is.
Rod Smart, I believe that's his real name, his government name.
Correct.
He hate me. I remember him.
He hate me.
Good for he hate me. I'm glad he was found, you know, his family and everything like that.
So there you go. He back.
He was one of the best things about the XFL whenever the first go-round.
He certainly had probably one of the best nicknames, or at least in the
He's
top three.
He's had the best nickname, maybe one of the best of all time. He hate me.
Yeah, I agree.
Of all time, especially in football.
Third down, Auburn and Louisville. We're playing, it looks like, game 7 of the College World Series baseball tournament last night. And Louisville had a 4-1 lead. But after about, where does the inning say? Doesn't say. So after a couple hours of play, the rain came down. The umpires decided to delay the game. And now today, keep your eyes peeled for a triple header. A triple header in the College World Series. Looks like Auburn and Louisville will resume play around 11 a.m. So coming up right at the top of the hour. Vanderbilt and Mississippi State will begin just over an hour after that game. And then Florida State and Texas Tech will take you home at either 6 p.m. or 65 minutes after the other game. So look for a triple header tonight if you are, I guess, all today, really. If you're a fan of the College World Series, and see where that takes you.
Anybody but Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I can't. Can't really fathom Vanderbilt adding a little bit of hardware to their resume right now. Don't really care what sport it is.
That would be their second in baseball in the past 5 or so years.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you.
No candy.
And fourth down. Brandon, I'm directing this one right at you, buddy.
Oh.
Yesterday, I told you directly, I said, Brandon, Al Horford, he's going to decline to exercise his $30.1 million option.
Yep.
And you said, well, Rick, if you had kept reading the story, he's actually going to re-sign and take less money.
I said they were planning to sit down. Both sides had.
That's what the sources say.
No. Okay. Okay.
That's here. First of all, that's not how Brandon talks.
First of all, Rick, I said both parties had mutual interest in a new deal.
Yes.
Then, late yesterday, talks broke down, Rick.
They perished.
Talks be breaking down, Rick. Sometimes it be like that.
The talks broke down, and now Al Horford is planning to leave the Celtics. And you know what? This one hurts more than Kyrie.
Yeah.
But you know what?
What?
To hell with him.
Wow.
Oh.
Deep down, you know what he is? You know what he is deep down?
He's a gator. He's a gator.
It doesn't seem like it because he doesn't act like all the other Gators. It seems like it's been forever since he played there.
Brandon going full heel on Al
but
Horford.
Deep down, he Keep is
going.
A gator.
Keep going.
Wow. He is a gator, and I do not wow. care. Good riddance. Good wow. riddance, Al Horford.
Wow. Wow, Brandon.
I feel like you got more in you.
Wow. You were just loving him yesterday. Now it's all about him being a Gator.
Love breaks down.
Imagine that.
It hurts. Go Gator. It hurts.
Wow. What a heel turn. Al Horford didn't do nothing to you. All he did is be a veteran on that team. A lot of leadership.
And you know what?
He's been loyal.
You know what? No, I am shifting gears away from Al Horford.
Oh.
Danny Ainge should be fired.
Oh, Danny Ainge?
All right, I want to hear.
Danny Ainge can get the hands too?
Hold on. I want to hear what this is. I feel like this could be good.
He should be fired. He had one job. And now look where the Celtics are. Look. His plan was to acquire assets, keep gaining assets, and he did that part. Then you wait out LeBron. Whether that's he retires, he goes out west, he does that. What do the Celtics do? You're not willing to. He wasn't willing to come off of anything.
Yep, could have had Anthony Davis. Instead, he wanted to go out and get old bum ass Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward's your second best option now. What the hell is he gonna give you?
And
not a damn thing.
And like I said, when the Raptors won, I mean,
Gordon bleeping Hayward.
That was the Celtics' plan all along. What the Raptors did, that's what the Celtics' plan was.
Wait it out till LeBron leaves.
Danny
Ainge to the finals.
Failed.
Hey, but we got these assets, though.
Danny Ainge should be fired.
Pocket full of assets.
Wow.
The Danny Ainge story. Coming soon to a bookstore near you.
And I love Danny Ainge. Great Celtic, but he's run his course. Get some new blood in there.
Put him in the dirt.
Well done. I'm still reading this Al Horford story over here, trying to figure out all the details about it. You're popping off about Danny Ainge, but it was very good. It was very good. A lot of passion, a lot of fire, a lot of determination. Well done.
Now my Celtics are back to sucking again.
Are you still a little heated about it?
I would be.
I mean,
they're done. Finito.
I'll be okay.
Put a fork in them.
I'll be okay.
10 years. But you know what? Brad Matthews is Brad Matthews, former host here back in the day. Brad Stevens, he's the best coach out of timeouts. You got that going for you. There's nobody like Brad Stevens can draw up that out of timeout play.
I mean, I like Brad Stevens.
What has he done for you? His playoff record is trash. It gets very much overlooked.
Who's he had?
Hey, but they always talk about his coaching. I'm just saying. He gets a lot of, it's like Calipari. Calipari's had all these lottery picks and everything, and he's sent a lot of guys to the NBA. He's had one title since he's been in Kentucky.
So Brad Stevens' overall coaching record is
look at his playoff record.
I'm interested in it.
He's 27-29.
He's got a 549 win loss percentage.
Don't sit there and sandbag. You know what his playoff record percentage is.
I know what it is.
It's under 500.
Are we really doing this right now? We're going to deep dive the Celtics. I'd prefer not to.
He got hired 6 years ago.
Yes.
Almost to the day.
Almost to the day.
I didn't realize he's been there for that long.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, dude. Good for him. He peaked in 2018.
Yes. And now you got to think about they're probably going to be on the retread, on the rebuild for the next, 5 years at least. Jason Tatum took a step back, too, and he's your best player. He took a step back this year.
The whole team took a step back.
They did. You know what they missed? Isaiah Thomas.
They didn't have him last year either. And
They got beat.
One seed, two seed.
And what happened? They got beat by who?
LeBron.
In fairness, everyone got beat by LeBron.
And he had a bunch of scrubs on his team.
Why are we dragging me through this much pain? I've lived it enough.
I kind of like it. I like the...
I would rather not relive it. We did it yesterday with Tennessee and Gary Patterson. I'd rather not do it with the Celtics. Can we please move on?
All right, we'll go happy note next, okay?
Okay. What are we going?
We will go
pretty happy to me right now.
We'll fast forward to January. All right. What do you have to feel like in January to consider Tennessee's football season a success? All right. We're going to look at a success story, a potential success story. So think about that after the break. Maybe we'll get more into Brandon's demise in a little while. I kind of like it. It's a fun topic here on Wednesday.
Celtics are trash right now, Brandon. It's okay. Bulls are trash. Mavericks are trash. All of our damn teams are better than your teams.
My team is not
trash. Your team is trash, Rick.
My team is not trash. Just wait. We're on the come up. We're on the rise.
No, you're not.
That and more coming up next on The Blitz.
...865-546-8200 is our number if you would like to call in, talk about whatever is on your mind. So, Rick, you teased before the break. Year two for Jeremy Pruitt. What would constitute success for the Vols in year two?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to take this, right? You can take this in the win-loss column. You can take this in simply product on the field, right? Maybe regardless of, maybe you're substituting a couple wins here and there, but you know, maybe you're looking for something on the field that really gets you excited for the future. Maybe it's even something like recruiting. Maybe you're looking for, you know, Tennessee to establish itself in the recruiting rankings. I don't know what it is. Brandon, I'll ask you first, what jumps off the top of your head when it comes to looking back at year two when we get to December, January, and you believing that this season was a success, was a step forward for Jeremy Pruitt?
Beating the teams that you're supposed to beat.
Okay.
Georgia State, Chattanooga, UAB, BYU, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. That's six wins right there. That should get you to – if you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, that's six wins. You're going to a bowl game right there.
Sure.
You should be competitive in all your other games with – and I will hold – I will give an exception to Alabama and maybe Georgia just because you're so far behind them. And that may – you may disagree with that, but it is what it is. Those two teams are competing for national championships. Tennessee is obviously not. We're just not on that level yet. So, I mean, keep it close. Be competitive. Be respectable against all your other opponents. Maybe even win a game you're not supposed to. Win a game that you are an underdog. Beat Missouri. I don't know. Mississippi State. They'll probably be favored. Win a game like that. Something else I'd be looking for. I want to see marked improvement on the offensive line. I would like to see marked improvement as far as quarterback play goes. Those are just some of the things I'm looking for.
Okay, so I'm gonna take a couple of the things that you said and kind of expand on them into what I believe, you know, constitutes success. I really think that there were moments last year where this team was let down by the coaching staff, and so what do? You go on, you revamp. Parts of the coaching staff this year, right? You bring in Ansley. You bring in Jim Chaney. Jim Chaney, to me, is in a lot of ways a hinge pin for this season, right? We kind of I remember even talking about this with Roger right at the end of our show yesterday. Speaking of, if you wanted to get on the show, 865-546-8200. But And that's kind of what prompted me to think about this question for today, right? I fully believe that Jeremy Pruitt's defense is going to be leaps and bounds better this year than it was last year. Do you agree or disagree?
I would agree.
Because we all know that he's got this system that he works well with, right? It obviously worked for multiple teams in the past, most recently the defending champions at the time, Alabama, right? And so what do? You bring him in, and he needs a little bit of time to get his defense worked in, right? But now he has that time. We are past the first season. We are into two off seasons that our players have been able to learn this system. So I would expect a good defense. But nothing can happen, right, if your offense is still going to be bad. If your offensive line is still going to be bad. If you're still running the most predictable play system in the SEC, yet alone maybe even the country. None of what Tennessee wants to accomplish can happen if both our offense and defense are not working together in tandem. So I want to see what happens when Jim Chaney rolls in. Big Jim Chaney. What is the playbook going to look like? What is the, like you said, what is the quarterback going to look like? And I fully believe that Tennessee's offense will take an exponential leap forward this year. Now, I don't have a lot to base that off of, you know, because I'm putting trust in that Jim Chaney is going to use these components and they will work together. But I believe that you will see a strong success. When you see that offense start to work, when you believe that defense is going to work, to me, then it comes back to what you said at the very beginning. 6 wins. Because you beat the teams that you need to beat.
Yeah, I mean, you saw flashes of it last year against Kentucky, against Auburn, games that it looked like it kind of clicked for this team. And hopefully you get that earlier this year. Hopefully they can kind of build on that. And you do have a new offensive coordinator. You do have a new defensive coordinator. But the defense should stay the same for the most part. Offense might be a little different, but it could be a change for the better. I personally think that the offense will be better as well. Another thing is I'm tired of playing Georgia State, Chattanooga, UAB, and these games coming down to the second half, coming down to the fourth quarter. Put these teams away early. We should not be toying around with Georgia State. This is Tennessee. I don't care how bad the team is. I don't care who the coach is. They should not be on the same field as us.
Well, the best teams in the country, right? That's exactly what they do. And you know what happens when you have a team down and out by 28 points going into halftime? You can use the rest of the game to develop other players. Even, for instance, last year, right? Keller Chris came in. And I believe it was one of the first meaningful play times he got when he came in against Alabama. But what would happen if we had put some of those teams away more at the beginning of the year, right? Maybe those quarterbacks get a little bit of a better rhythm, right? Maybe you have other players, other running backs, receivers, defensive linemen, defensive backs. You can get more guys reps when you do exactly what you say. But when you just kind of mess around and you're not putting your foot down against teams that you absolutely have the ability to put your foot down on, that's what's going to happen.
Troy tweets in, Pruitt has to go 7-5 this season with a bowl win, or Pruitt is one step closer to being fired after year 3, as well as Fulmer. I would tend to agree with that. But I don't think that you have to have – I don't think there has to be a certain number of wins for this year to be successful. I think if you're going to put a number on it –
No, he's got to go to a bowl game.
I agree. I think you have to go to a bowl game, but
– So, I mean, that's 6 wins. So, he's got to at least get 6. If he goes 5-7 again,
well, no,
he's on the hot seat.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying, I don't know if there's that big of a difference between 6-6 and 7-5.
Not that big of a difference in there. If he gets 8 wins, though, that's a big difference from the 7-5 or the 6-6. That would be a big difference. 8 wins would be like 9 wins, like, you know, in year 3. 8 wins would definitely be something that would make a lot of people feel like, all right, well, maybe this poor guy, you know, can do it. Maybe that Tennessee can compete in the East again and then possibly push themselves to compete for an SEC title. If you get the 8 wins, the future looks a lot brighter. If you only get the 6 wins, people will be content. There's still going to be a lot of doubt because, like what you're saying, what if it is you see the offense is better and the defense is worse? The guy's a defensive specialist. Then it becomes, all right, well, maybe he's just a great defensive coordinator. He can't handle the fact of being a head coach as well because he has to focus on a lot of other things too. So there's going to be a lot of doubt if they don't get a bowl game one. That's the first thing. You got to get 6 wins. I think what you said, they do have to be competitive. That also is a huge thing. You have to play competitive football. You got to win the games that you're supposed to. You got to defend home turf. You got home turf. You got to be out there defending home turf and home field.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So that's another huge thing. You got to win in front of the home crowd. That makes the home crowd feel better. You know, outside of the games like you're talking about, like in Alabama, don't expect them to really compete with Alabama. I think that should be another slobber knocker. When you're looking at Georgia should handle Tennessee probably pretty easily as well this year also. But, you know, Florida, they should be pretty competitive. Missouri, Kentucky, those games you got a shot. And you do have to those cupcake schedules where you're paying people to come in. It shouldn't be close at the end of the game. That is correct.
Chance, I like what you said there about defending home turf.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at our schedule right now, and it looks like Tennessee's home games this year, Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga. Those are the first 3 games of the season. They're all at home. You know, you got Georgia coming in at home, but we all know how that one looks. Mississippi State, probably one of your toss-up games. Could be one of your toss-up games. That's at home. South Carolina's at home. UAB's at home. And Vanderbilt's at home. I think all of those except Georgia, maybe Mississippi State, depending on how the first, you know, 5 games look, are must-win games. You got to win when you're at home. Because if you're not beating the likes of South Carolina at home, if Chattanooga or UAB are giving you a run for your money at home, then what hope do we have against Missouri on the road? I'm not even going to count Alabama on the road. Florida on the road. Maybe even Kentucky on the road. Your home games are going to be so valuable this year because ultimately that's 6 8. Games. Well, 6 winnable games right there, right? Pretty much all the games that you said that we should win, except, you know, I'm throwing in, maybe even you said South Carolina. All the games that you said, I believe, that you have to win, that are just kind of chump games, are at home. South Carolina's not a chump school, but you get what I mean. You have to defend your home turf. And that also goes back to things like, hey, what does it take to build excitement for people to come into Neyland? What does it take to get that number back to 102.55? I don't know. You show them a good winning product at the games they can see. If South Carolina's rolling into town and Tennessee is just, you know, putting up stinkers a lot of these games and they're showing that, hey, when they're at home, it really doesn't matter that much because BYU is still going to give them a run for their money. Georgia State still is going to give them a run for their money. What's the point of me going to that game? You got to win the ones at home.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of these are must wins. I don't. It depends on what you view as a must win. I mean, I think Mississippi State is a game that is absolutely. I think your season hinges on the Mississippi State game. I think that game can make or break your season. So, I don't know if I'd call it a must-win, but it's definitely a swing game. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break right here. Final segment, hour one, coming your way after this.
Last segment, hour number one. Blitz, right here on Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Chance, Rick, and Brandon. Talking about success. Talking about Tennessee. It's what we do. Forecasting the future. What's success going to mean to you? Call us up. 865-546-8200. You can also reach us on Twitter at underscore Chance Collins, at Brandon Orrick, I do believe.
Yep.
And at Rick Butler.
Underscore Butler.
Underscore.
R-I-C.
Rick underscore
well.
Butler.
No K.
Rick with a C, not with the K. A little Ricky in the crew.
Many people and many people.
Pretty Ricky.
Got wrong on Twitter.
Many people are saying, what?
Many people are saying R-I-C-K. But I never really care that much. I never really correct them. But it's also like you're tweeting. You know, I'm in the conversation that they're tweeting. Says my name right there. I'm always confused, you know, why that mistake's there. Oh, well.
I don't know.
Did you guys see that there was a bear in Knoxville yesterday?
No.
Well, there's a lot of bears in Knoxville generally. I guess in the mountains.
Well,
technically.
A pedestrian area.
Okay.
A small black bear was captured after it was stuck in a tree at Morningside Park.
A bear stuck in a tree.
A bear stuck in a tree.
Downtown.
Very interesting. How big was the bear?
It looks the size. I mean, I don't know. Here's the people holding the bear. What would you say?
Oh, it's small.
Yeah, it's a baby bear.
It looks like a small bear.
It looks like maybe a 14-year-old. The size of a 14-year-old.
What?
Like a
14-year-old
like a kid.
Person.
Yes.
I don't.
Was that not
a,
clear
a
the first time?
No.
Okay.
Sound like you're talking about a 14-year-old bear, which would be a very old bear. I don't think bears live that long.
It was very clear in my head.
I don't know.
What's the lifespan
of a bear?
They tranquilized it. And then just carried it to safety.
Yeah. See, bears don't live that long, Rick. Couldn't
bears don't live 14 years.
No, couldn't
well,
be
it was a good thing I was talking about a kid in the first place. What would you do?
What?
You're
Matt,
strolling
Matt,
along.
Hold on. Matt's got some good info.
Black bears can live up to 30 years in the wild.
Whoa.
Oh, 30 years.
So yeah. It could be a 14-year-old black bear,
no,
Brandon.
No, it could not, because a 14-year-old black bear, it would be a full-grown bear. It would be full-grown. It would not be that small. Anyway, continue.
What would you do? You stroll up to Morningside Park, you and your buddies. You want to go get 18 holes of disc golf in. You're setting up. You look to your left, and there's a bear in a tree in a fairly pedestrian area.
Do you know what you do? You know the proper things you're supposed to do, Brandon?
Proper bear protocol?
First of all, I would make myself as large as possible. And back
job,
away
Brandon.
Slowly.
Good job, Brandon.
Once I felt like I was at a safe distance or in my car, I would call animal control.
There you go.
There you go.
Exactly.
Situation handled.
You're supposed to make yourself big and walk away. Never run because they'll think that you're prey.
This is a small bear. I could outrun it. I would just dip right to my car.
Oh.
Mistake number one.
Yep. You're going to get ate up.
Well, the first mistake.
Let's go drop
is
him off in the Smokies.
Not listening to me well. It was stuck in a tree. It can't get out. It's stuck. Well, I can run away freely.
Maybe when he sees you running, he decides to get unstuck and come and
well,
has
then
you
I'm
for
doing,
lunch.
I'm doing the bear a service. I'm getting him out of the tree.
Oh, yeah, then he does you
he
a service and eats you for lunch.
Yeah, he doesn't know that you're trying to get him out of
the
tree.
By that point, I'm long gone. I'm in my car. I'm driving away.
You don't know that. He could be a very fast bear.
I'm a very fast human being.
What? I don't know if you're faster than a bear.
A small bear?
I don't think you are. I don't think you are.
What?
Faster than a small bear.
First off, we don't know how fast small bears are. Second off, nobody knows how fast I am. I do, though. I'm telling you,
Matt,
I would outrun a bear.
How fast can a bear run?
Please get.
Trying to convert it from kilometers.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Got to do the conversion. Simple
the
conversion.
Conversion factor.
Conversions are never simple.
They're not.
Rick, how fast do you think you run a 40?
I would say I run a 40 in just over 5 seconds.
37.28 miles per hour.
Oh, 37 miles
whoa.
Per hour.
Yeah.
First off, whoa.
Yeah.
We're talking about probably a full-grown black bear. Are we not?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this
is
a baby bear.
So let's half. Let's go half of that.
Let's say go
Yeah, yeah. Let's go half of that then.
Yeah.
I feel like we're talking maybe 10.
That's still faster than you.
Yes.
You don't think I can run 10 miles per hour?
No.
Me neither. Yikes. But what?
Oh, whoa. How about that, Rick?
Again, we're talking about a small bear.
Now you're thinking, you're faster than a racehorse.
Just in case anybody could not hear Matt, bears have been known to outrun racehorses in short distances. Boom!
Full-grown bears!
You already said the bear looked like it was like a 14-year-old, so was it like it seems like it's not a baby bear. It's kind of it's maturing. Is it like in the middle? Is it hitting puberty? It's kind of... It seems like it's a teenage bear.
It's a pubescent bear.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Couldn't think of. Thank you, Brandon.
Pubescent. As I lost the article and I can't even get back on. I have no more free articles.
You were supposed to keep that up in the background.
You've got to use article discipline, Rick.
And I feel like, I think if you open one of those articles, think if it's the same
if
article.
It's the same one, you can go back.
Okay, I got it.
They don't give you a scratch for
it was in a
reading
different
the same
window.
One.
The park is, that's just an East Knoxville park. The Post said that the wildlife agency officials were waiting for the bear to come down on its own, so I don't actually know how stuck it was, before that they could immobilize
exactly.
Even
it
and
was not stuck.
Back
it was,
to a rural
it was,
area.
It didn't know that it could get down for a moment. That's all that happened.
He just liked the view up in the tree.
He was just hanging out.
And here you go saying you can outrun the damn thing.
I'm saying over a very short distance to get back to my car if my life was on the line.
Oh, my. That's where it's the fastest. Yeah. It's the short distance.
Did you miss the part where it said that bears can outrun racehorses in short distances?
I missed the part
distances?
Where apparently this bear is a full-grown bear. I'm looking at the pictures. It's not.
Rick might have missed that part. You don't want to miss hour number two coming up next, the Blitz, right here on Fan Run Radio.